This meeting is now being recorded.
Those who have been selected for the service of the Master in one way or the other to carry in work here anywhere under his direct supervision, you see, or those who have been selected to work quite nearer to him, more nearer to him, this is his grace, the God in him. So God, those people only can serve God or God in man whom God wishes. Those who have been selected, it means that the God's special grace on them. But what we do, you see, when they are brought together, we sometimes take it up as a business question for compensation in one way or the other. The result is that our Master used to give one instance, just like when a calf, when it comes to the cow, you see, when it comes nearer the cow, just so all milk, you know, let loose. Whereas those near, live near him, they just suck the blood on the, what do you say, the milk outside, the bag of the milk in the cow, you see. They seem to squeeze the blood, suck the blood, not the milk. They don't drink the milk. So it means what it is, if you want to serve the God in man or God. It can be done only through His grace. If He wishes, nobody else can do it. If one is brought in that connected, he has been selected to do like that, it means that God wishes him. It is His grace that he has been selected. When you are selected for one purpose, then do it joyously, quietly, lovingly, selflessly. Thank God that you have been selected for that job. You are brought in that arrangement to carry on the work. It is His grace. So first of all, he should be true to the Master within him. When he sees he is within me, he will always be afraid of not to do anything which is wrong, which is against his wishes, whether in his presence or in his absence. This is one thing. As he will go on like that, he will always thinking of the Master. The result will be, as you think, so you become. By and by you will find that it is He who is working in me and not I. St. Paul says it is Christ, it is I, that is not now I, it is Christ lives in me. It is the ultimate goal. Now the point is who have been, those who are they who are selected for the carry on the work of the service under the Master, whom the God has His gracious, I mean intention, grace, His grace, yeah. Though they are selected, they should be thankful that they have given that service. They should carry it selflessly. Always thinking that he is serving the God in him, the God in man, because he is who has just selected you for that purpose. You see? So the criterion is that you have been given initiation, that you are brought closer, in a near circle, and then you are just given some job to do under the Master. This is selection, this is His special grace. We should prove and derive full benefit. We should prove worthy of the job, you see, and also derive full benefit from the job we have been given. Only that we can do by doing selflessly. As a mere puppet in his head, what is he? So any service done with the will and pleasure of the Master, in which there is no self-assertion, that bears fruit and full fruit. Those who have been selected for this service under him it is special grace of God. They should be thankful for that. Otherwise, even by living nearer to the Master, after you said that they are fruitful, you simply go at once. So this was the subject today, that those who have been initiated by the God in man, this is with His grace only, and not, no one else. So he should dwell that by observing regular precautions, restrictions, you see, so that he may dwell within, go within, and meet his reason powerful, the Master within, talk to him in heart to heart. This is one side. And sometimes you are selected for that job. What is this job? To bring all children of God together. To prove yourself as an example to the other people. See, an example is better than precept. You have been given one job. Do this job, please. In this mission, here or anywhere, or in the direct context. So those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. But they should perform those duties with no assertion of ego in them, just to please the Master. Selfless and no compensation in return. It is for him to give what he wishes, which is what man is fit for, and what he thinks best for him. So when you do service of such a God in man, naturally, you the compensation, what compensation he can give, he will bring you back first for the outer world, then united with God forever. This is the criterion to know those who are brought to quite and closer contact. This is their more fortunate. So if the God in man wishes, you see, He doesn't love each one of you. He wishes good of yours, then I see it is God that wishes good of you. So you know, follow what is what, you see. Those who are initiated in the special grace of God, the purpose is our soul must go back to the lap of the Father, through the light and sound principle which emanates from the Absolute God. The other is when he is selected for some job, that is his special grace further on the man to carry on the work. So those who want to just bring him just nearer to him, he gives him some job to do. He gives him some duty to perform. If he does it selflessly with no ego within it, that bears her fruit. You see. When he sees that everything goes on according to my will and pleasure, then naturally you are one with him. You have got no will of your own. His will is your will. And his will is God's will within it. That's all. So be thankful, each one of you who have been initiated first. That will be given a way back to Absolute God. But when he has selected you for some particular duty, you are still more fortunate. But perform it with full faith, devotion, and selflessness. He will give you what? He will give you his own place. There is even time. Sixth Guru, Guru Hargobind. So he asked somebody to recite Japji, that is one part of the Guru Granth of the Sikh literature, you see. He said, who will recite this particular part of the literature with one single-minded attention? He give him what he likes. But sensing without any single-minded, with no other intention or any thought coming in, intruding with him. So one man started, you see, came here. He began to recite that the verses of Japji. When he went on single-mindedness, when he read to the end, you see, he thought him very beautiful. Heart has come to the Master, if you give me that. Quite at the close of the scriptures, in that part of the scripture, then he just woke up. And the Master gave him, let you have that horse. And he told him, well, look here, had you not wanted this, I would have given my seat. You follow me? Those who do selflessly, with single-minded attention, he wants everyone be to his own self-duty, bring you to one with himself. Those who want something other, that is given, of course, but the selfless service of Master is the highest, I mean, good fortune, I would say. But who does it? Whom God wishes, sensitive grace. So you are fortunate, who have been initiated first of all. Those who have been selected for the job under the foreign mission or direct contact, they are still more fortunate. But mind that should be selfless. There should be no assertion of self. I am. For these little things you need, you simply, instead of deriving good, full good, you derive very little good or no good. So be thankful that you have been given education and you have been selected, those who have been selected for their vertical purpose of carrying on his mission and expanding his mission, that is, they are still more fortunate. Those who derive full benefit sometimes doing service, we think we are above the Master. You may be as good as the Master, that's another thing. You cannot be above the Master. In the assertion of yourself, you sometimes go so far. Result is, he doesn't derive full benefit. So, aapne samjha ki uski seva kaun karata, badi bani hai. Matlab kya hai uska? Ki jiski seva wo karaye. Wo karane ki nishani, usko pehle khwahish bani. जो वो बच्चा मांगता वो देता पिता कृपाल आ गया है कि नहीं बारक मुख मंगे सुनो बानिए कह रहे वो देना चाहता है क्या अपनी सीट अपनी जगह देना चाहता है और हम घोड़े मांगते वापस ये मांगते हैं वो मांगते हैं मान बढ़ाई में आकर बाहर उससे भी उल्लंघन कर जाते हो हम न हो तो उसका काम कैसे चल सकते सच नहीं थी वी मे बी एज गुड एज मास्टर दैट्स ऑल राइट वी कैन नॉट बी अबव मास्टर Servant is servant, the Lord is Lord. If he doesn't accept him for his service, then can you force him? ये छोटी छोटी बातें हैं जिनको खोलकर समझाया जाता यही हम गलती करते और यही कारण बनता है कि हम नजदीक रहकर भी पूरा फायदा नहीं उठाते नाम लेकर भी पूरा नहीं You are just reading, you see, something about righteousness, you see. Saint Augustine was asked, what is wanted to know God? It was Zoroaster, I mean, not Saint Augustine. He said, righteousness. The people asked him, what is it? What to define righteousness? What is righteousness? He said, good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. The whole thing depends on your attention, also to what is called, you see, which is the outward expression of soul. Wherever you will keep it engaged, attached, always those very thoughts will be reverberating within you. We have to make the best use of the things, of course, but we are not to be attached. If only we can just attach our soul with something higher within us, that is within us. But if our attention is just diverted to the outgoing faculties, so much so that it becomes identified with the outer things, what is the result? You cannot withdraw your attention from there. It's the whole question of attention or sort. is to keep it away. These outside things are involved and attached to you, your own self. So for that you see we are driven away outside to the outgoing faculties. Audition, hearing, smelling, taste and touch. These are five outgoing faculties working to five physical outgoing outlets. So that these are withdrawn from outside, are closed not to receive any impression from outside through these outgoing faculties. Only then you can have some awareness of your own self, and also you can contact the higher self within you. That is God within you, the light is on you. So what is righteousness? It is not to be attached to outside, but to make the best use of all outer things. You have not to leave the world, of course, but you have to make the best use of the outer things. Suppose you go to a garden, you enjoy all flowers, all plantations, woods, meadows. Enjoy the whole day. Nobody will question you. But the very moment you just cut the flowers, or anything do like that, then the God in charge will take you to task and put it to jail, you see, police force. So we are here to make the best use of all outer things, but not to be attached. Make these things as stepping stones to reach your higher self. If you are addicted or given up, become identified with any enjoyment outside, so much so that you cannot even withdraw from that, then that is what will be the result. How can you invert and have that contact within you, with God, which is given at the time of initiation? So this outer faculty should be under our control. Whenever we like, we make the best use of them. If not, they should not drag us away. So it is the master, if you obey him literally, then he will make you the master of your own home. These outgoing faculties should serve as your servants, not as your masters. Now they drag you away, whether you wish it or not. So whatever you do, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, a month or two, that becomes habit. Habit is strengthened into nature. And that is, you want to go somewhere else and you are attached somewhere, your mind goes that way, your feet may be going the other way. So you find out what is needed. The God is within you. Unless you withdraw from your outside, how can you contact? So if you are attached to outside things, you cannot be dark from outside. So you go out of this building. You are the same. When you leave this body, you are not changed, you see. You are what you are now. After leaving the body, you cannot become a learned man. You are attached here, even now while you live in the world, you are attached. All of your attention over there, where will you go? Where you are attached? When you leave the body, then where will you go? Where you are attached? So, where should we attach ourselves? So the conscious entity. It should be attached to the old self, all consciousness. Even in life. Then when you remain in the world, even then you won't be attached to the world. You will be in the world, get out of it. When you leave the body, you leave the body, you will go to the feet of the Lord. That's all. So we must have control on all our outgoing faculties. We should be able to use it when we require, not dragged outside. So for that reason, this diary is unintended. There's nothing more like that. You must know where you are attached. So you have given some contact with the grace of God. You see light of God within you, you hear the sound principle, that is more attention, of course, when you have turned your whole attention to that, that will just like touchstone that will drag you. But when that very thing you see attached also, how can, even those who are given a gift of contact with the Lord within, if they don't care for keeping them self-restraint, I would say, first this thing requires self-restraint, and the other is, only then you can have some control over yourself and then direct your attention wherever you like. So first thing is to do our own, but true living is still our truth. Ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Remain where you are, you must judge yourself where you before we are here now. You find some of the initiates make progress too. But they don't keep their direct self-introspection. The result is they leave off their practices and they are attached to outside things. One or the other, the result is slowly dashing what he sees before that is all stopped. But in the eyes of him, he is very saint. But within his own self, he is just, what you say, not true to one's own self, not to the God within him, one thing. What is he done? He weeps inside, but in the eyes of him, he is a very good man. Really, he is not. But the God sees within us what he is. This is most necessary, as I told you. Our life should be of self-restraint, good character. You see, love God. God is within all, love all humanity. For the sake of the love of God, you love all others. If you forget the Lord, then you are attached. Where will you go? Where you are attached. You see. Now you see how important it is to remain of self-restraint. Make use of anything when he wants it. Now we are dragged. You see? Irresistibly to outright sin. You have to live in the world in quite detail. When you want to use one cycle to use it, then when you leave it. It is not so with us now. For that purpose we are given contact within with the light and sound principle within us. When you get more bliss there, that your outward attachments are cut off. Apparently you may be living in the world, eating, drinking, this and that, but you are not attached to the world. You are only making the best use of the world. Just as a man when he goes to the garden, he enjoys everything. Then he returns, if he wants, any time. So similarly you will find it is most important to have such a heart which is tied to God, not to the world. If you take poison of the master used to say poison, that creates trouble within the within us. He cries. But what is used to have? He should stop eating any more poison, so that the other may be clear. But he cries, all the same he continues taking more poison. What is used? This poison comes through the outward faculty somehow. We receive impressions from outside, through eyes, through ears, through the tongue, through smelling, through touch. So we must have a life of self-restraint. Only such a man can progress from day to day. By regularity, you see, and also by self-introspection. It's most important. The very soul, the outer expression of which is called attention, our soul, if that is the nature outside, how can you see within? Now I cannot see at the back. If I have too much attached, okay, how can I would not dare and even care to look at the back. Unless I turn my face from this and look the other, only then I can see them. So same thing is invert our attention within, only then we can see. It is there already waiting for us. Those who are initiated, they are given something, some capital to start with. By regular practice and self-introspection, self-restraint, we have to develop it more and more from day to day. When you get more this year, naturally in the world you remain, but you are not attached. So we should see where we stand, where we stood before, 2 years back or a year back, where we now stand. Generally, we see that we are better before, not now. Why? We should progress. I have seen some initiates, they have made some progress, but still they have dwindled back. Only for the decision. So one must be true to one's own self. God is within you. The Guru or the Master power is within you. He is waiting for you. Zero death of life. It doesn't mean you should leave the world and go to it. We are mentioned in the lonely places. No, not even. We have to learn swimming in water. Not on the dry land, not only through intellectual wrestling. So it is hard of training, you are given something to stand on within you. It is always like the needle of the compass, be directed to the north, while all doing your work in the world. The true master, real master, then that I advise you to leave the world and go outside, but remain in the world, yet not in the world. A boat is running in the water. Boat may be remain in the water and row. You may be rowing, but be careful, the water doesn't enter the boat. You will be drowned. The boat may remain in the water, but not water in the boat. You follow me, what I mean to say? Your whole outward impressions are just overflowing within you. You will be drowned in the water. You will have to come back again and again. So for that very reason, initiated give something to start within. If you be regular in devoting time that way, you'll be attached there, you'll win the world, get out of it. That's the only way. And for that reason, you have to be true to your own self mind. That's the main thing to be learned. If we go on that way, then you'll be progressing day to day. If not, even if you got something, that will be taken away from you, I would say. Master used to give one example. There are some children. Father gives them something to eat. To just make the best use of that thing. So, one who was given, Christ also gave an example like that. Our master used to give also like that. He gave some talent to some children. One man that made 20 talents, so he made 40. The other he gave 10, he made 20. And the third one he gave 5 and he kept it. He did not use it. So Master was earned 20 more, he gave something more to deal with, you see. So those who have kept, they, he has not made the use, you cannot deal with him. But generally, we get things, get something to start with, we will spoil away, you see, fritter by being attached over her. So Father, will you please don't be such a child who has made the best use, made money out of that, you see, more. He becomes, you see, an honest man to be relied on, even more and more. Generally you find people say we were very well off before, not now. But why not now? We have made the best work our own self. So we have to be careful. Self-introspection is most necessary. Those who do not keep it, they will be dwindled away to old ways. Slowly. Ethical life is stepping stone to sweet justice.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was from the Morning Talks CDs. It was from November 23rd and 24th, 1967. A quick reminder, many of the past telephone satsangs have been recorded, and they can be heard on our website, RuhaniSatsangUSA.org. Just click on the words audio recordings that's on the left side of the home page, and then select telephone satsangs. Our reader this morning is Joanna Swanson. Good morning, Joanna.
Hi, David. I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
You're fine. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay. Good morning to my very dear brothers and sisters. Let me take just a few quick seconds to thank those of you who emailed and called me after my fall and serious injury, so I thank you for your concern. This morning, I am reading a master's message called The True Master, which was published in the March-April 1978 issue of Divine Science of the Soul, formerly published by Ruhani Satsang. And Master begins, "We are children of God, fashioned by Him in His own image. The soul in man is of the same essence as God. It is a drop in the ocean of all consciousness. Limited by the adjuncts of mind and matter on this physical plane, we have completely identified ourselves with the world and all that is worldly. So much so that we have completely forgotten our divine origin. The natural result of this forgetfulness is pain and suffering. Buddha declared that physical life is all misery. God is the guru of the soul. For the soul is of the same essence as God. When the soul cries out for help, God descends in the garb of a man to reclaim the lost sheep back to his fold. When in deep anguish the soul yearns for the truth of life, the word or power of God materializes in the form of a God-man. He comes to give all possible help and to lead the world weary back to his own kingdom. We are all here in this world on probation. When the right time comes, God makes arrangements through his elect, the chosen one, to establish a spiritual contact with himself. In our descent into materiality, we have so enmeshed the self within us in mantles of mind and matter of varying degrees of density, causal, mental, and physical, that we are completely lost to the self and are endlessly wandering in delusion in the mighty maze of the world. In spite of brief momentary awakenings, we are still prone to go astray by force of habit, which becomes part of our very nature. Intrinsically, we are children of the Father God, the God of us all, and our souls are essentially at one with the divine principle sustaining the universe. The Lord God himself is the consort of all souls. But sad to say, while in exile here on the physical plane, we've altogether forgotten him. While dwelling with the Lord in the same body, we have not had the opportunity of coming face to face with him. We are truly separated from God, for we have forgotten our true home. By constant association with mind and matter, we are completely lost in the enjoyment of sense pleasures, and we are ever a prey to all kinds of deadly sins. We are inextricably caught up in a web of lust, anger, greed, and attachment, and are obsessed with the ever-assertive ego, all of which conspired to lead us further away from God. We do have a choice before us. There is a class of person who only believes in living a life of worldly enjoyment. He is even worse than the person who is merely ignorant of his true self and of God, and who is content to live a quiet life of blissful ignorance. The person who eats, drinks, and makes merry may appear to be enjoying life, but how long does such enjoyment last? The world's pleasures are ephemeral and will wreck the life of that person physically, mentally, morally, and spiritually. The bliss that you can get from the love of the Lord you cannot get from anywhere else, not even from those whom you consider your nearest and dearest. It is the God in action power, the Nam, or the Holy Word, that is controlling and sustaining all that is visible and invisible. One who realizes this great truth cannot but wander restlessly in search of it. The heart which is stirred by this awakening of the inner life gradually begins to yearn for it. This yearning assumes the form of a ruling passion in the course of time, so that day and night the soul piteously cries out for the spiritual truth. This heart cry stirs the very depths of the great ocean of mercy that is God, and the soul is provided with the means to withdraw from the prison house of the body and to attain union with God. The true power of prayer stems from the depths of the heart. Prayer is the final weapon in the armory of man and is also the most effective weapon. It is in hopeless moments of despair that the power of God appears in the garb of a God-man and says, "Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the imperishable way, the infallible truth, the eternal life. I am the most noble way, the ultimate truth, the true life, blessed and uncreated." Christ assured forgiveness even to the worst of sinners if they desisted from future wrongdoing. He cried a halt to his followers, revoked their past errors, and commanded, "Sin no more." And so the soul, in pangs of separation from the Lord, cries out to the divine messengers who have free access to his court and seeks their help in this sad predicament. The divine principle of the light of life is immanent in all human beings, but it lies dormant unless it is reactivated. And only one who has made it manifest within himself may make it manifest for us. Herein lies the competence of a Satguru, a chosen human being in which the power of God works for the benefit of mankind. You may call him man and God or God and man, for it is one and the same. This is how God works out his plan of redemption for all human beings. An age-old saying affirms that the guru, or God in man, appears only when the disciple is ready. And so if the soul yearns for God in all sincerity, there is no reason why God shall not provide means to manifest himself. There is always food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Where there is fire, oxygen must come to keep it alive. Christ stated, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Similarly, the Holy Quran states, "Whatever my child shall ask, that shall be granted." But let us examine what we do ask for. We seldom ask for God from God. More often, we ask him for success in our worldly endeavors, advancement in life, name and fame, freedom from sickness, and so forth. We ask for worldly things, and these are provided, whether now or in the future. And so the wheel of life revolves eternally. If we ask for God, he will come into the world himself, and we shall not have to be reborn again and again in an evolutionary search for him. Man is the teacher of man, and so God takes a human form in order to teach human beings. His power and glory shines from the human pole in whom he works for the uplift of mankind. Such are the chosen few, or the elect, who appear from time to time in response to the crying need of the hour and the place. My master used to say that like attracts like, and as such, God and man alone leads man's soul. When we do meet a competent master, we have our own part to play. We usually have three kinds of mental reservation within us, and these act as a definite hindrance in our progress. We do not shed our bodily pride, our pride of possessions and riches, and our pride of intellectual attainments, which pertain respectively to tan, the body, dhan, wealth, and man, mind. This is why emphasis is placed upon the surrendering of these at the feet of the master. However, a true master does not need any of these things. What is intended is that the devotee considers three aspects, the body, wealth, and mind, as gifts from the master, which must be kept as a sacred trust from him and used in the best possible way in service of children and family, repayment of karmic debt, service to society and country, the truly needed, the indigent and sick, and the hungry and thirsty. Such acts performed in the dedicated spirit of an agent of the master will have very little binding effect on you. You will easily escape from the otherwise inexorable law of karma. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. Excuse me one second. This true self-surrender to the master will render you spiritually clean in all your actions, physical, mental, and moral. You will be endowed with true humility and a spirit of selfless service, which are both so very necessary for a pilgrim on the path of love. And so when we free ourselves of attachments to all created things and dissolve our will in the divine will of the master, then the holy word, already immanent within us, rises uppermost in our consciousness. The word is thus revealed and thus can be practiced by actual communion. A true master can give a practical mystical experience by means of concentration. After weaning the disciple from the world and all that is worldly, collecting the sensory currents of the body at the eye focus and retaining them there for some time, God goes where there is nothing. We have to disenfranchise the self in us by stripping it of the marks of the bodily adjuncts of mind and matter, and then we can get a spiritual experience. The master does not require our body, mind, or possessions, but he enriches us a thousandfold by providing us with subtle spiritual riches of inestimable value. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have forsaken the flesh for the spirit. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it, declared Christ. In fact, We have to choose between the life of the flesh and the life of the spirit. It does not mean we have to shirk our duties and responsibilities and take to the wilderness. True renunciation means inner detachment and making proper use of everything that God has given us in trust, just as any trusted agent will do for his principal. This price for attaining divinity must be paid without any mental reservation. The more you empty yourself of the love of created things, the more will you be filled with the love of God and will truly come into greater communion with the Holy Word. We are all in the making as human beings. We are gradually striving towards perfection. And this world is the training center towards that end. Suffering is the best teacher, for it awakens in us a yearning for transcending the limitation of the flesh so that we may attain that state where there is perfect serenity. Whenever we feel helpless in our struggle, and we often feel helpless in many ways, we call for the unseen hand of God to come to our aid. When we do so, the power of God is stirred. Some man of God endowed with his power comes our way, consoles us in our misery, offers his gentle helping hand to us, and lifts us out of the mire of despondency. He helps us to our feet and then offers to lead us Godward. A God-man is not a man of the world as we are, nor is his spirit bound in the prison house of the physical body as ours is. At one with the power of God, his spirit knows how to vacate the body at will and soar into the spiritual realms beyond mind and matter. The house we live in is wonderful indeed. It is given to us in order that we can transcend the limitations of the flesh and work wheresoever we may like, in the material world, the material-spiritual, the spiritual-material, or the purely spiritual. The microcosm is fashioned after the pattern of the macrocosm. But we have forgotten our capabilities in the mighty swirl of the world. We have come to identify our great self with the physical raiment, not knowing how to rise above body consciousness into cosmic and super cosmic consciousness. A God-man not only reminds us of our vast potentialities, but he also gives us an experience thereof, no matter at what level, and encourages us to develop the same to whatever extent we may like to do. He tells us, learn to die so that you may begin to live. We are certainly a drop from the ocean of consciousness, but in the limitations of the senses, busily engaged in the enjoyment of sense objects and restricted by the mind, we are lost to our real self. A master saint reminds us of our intrinsic greatness and helps us to free ourselves from our complacency and put us on the road to self-knowledge and God-knowledge. God is the soul of the universe. He willed to manifest himself in many forms of different patterns and colors. From one current of his power, multitudes of creations came into being. The soul within us also has innumerable capabilities, but is engaged in outer pursuits. God-men tell us to gather in and collect the outgoing spiritual currents at one center, the eye focus. They give us an experience of the withdrawal of the life currents. by daily practice, we get into a habit which, in the course of time, becomes second nature. Most of us wish to do this, but we have not the will to do it. We need some competent master to help us on the path. One who has transhumanized the human in him and who has become the mouthpiece of God. The human soul is burdened with the karmas of the past, incurring more and more karmas from day to day. It is deeply stuck in the quagmire of sensuous life. In this sorry state, it is well nigh impossible to take a single step forward unless some kindly God-man takes pity, lightens the karmic load, and extricates us from the quicksand of sensual life. We stand in need of some powerful friend who may be able to lend a helping hand and infuse courage and persistence into us through his grace. By his concentrated attention, such a God-man may help a gathering of 10, 20, or hundreds of people and give the practical inner experience to all. With this initial experience, we can develop our inner life, which at every step opens out new vistas into innumerable realms beyond. Being anchored in the power of God, the Master Saint does not lose anything by imparting his life impulse. The yogis and munis and rishis, with all their laborious practices for years and years, never had a glimpse of the inward light. But a true God-man may, by his kindly glance, open the inner vision of the devotee. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, it is stated, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." A true master saint gives us a first-hand knowledge of his experience with the divine, for he is one with the divinity. The scriptures of the various religions are nothing but fine records of the spiritual experiences of their authors with God. In fact, a master saint is much more than all the scriptures put together, for he is in direct contact with the God power, and is thus able to impart God knowledge directly and grant actual experience of the living word. He gives us the correct import of the scriptures, and while reconciling any apparent inconsistencies, he presents us with an integrated picture of the science of the soul. This holy science has eternally been the same, and it will always be the same, in spite of linguistic differences born of different geographical locations and historical backgrounds. It may be taken as gospel truth. None can realize the total greatness of a master saint. With all our worldly wisdom and learning, we cannot rise to his level, much less know of him. The God-man is vastly different from an ordinary human being. Guru Arjan declared that he searched the entire universe, Brahman, but could not find one who could come up to the level of his master, Guru Ramdas, for he saw in his master God himself, clothed in human form. Thus, living in the plane of the senses, we cannot comprehend the true significance of a God-man. But those whose inner vision is open know and see what in reality the Guru power is. As the sway of a true master saint extends to the highest heaven, so follow the sincere truth seekers after truth when in the company of the Master. Enmeshed in the snares of mind and matter, the spirit cannot by itself escape from the prison house of materiality and reach the purest spiritual region beyond pinned, the physical, and the astral, and Brahmand, the causal, which is our true home. When a seeker comes to the master saint, the God-man, by his words of encouragement and attention, momentarily lightens his mental load and makes him see things in their true perspective. The master saint then directs him to enter into the laboratory of his body for an actual spiritual experiment. By doing so, the disciple gets some inner experience which he is asked to develop by daily practice. The master's basic instructions to the disciple tell him how to rise above body consciousness and how the master can help him in this. When such a master accepts you as a disciple, he will never leave you. He will always be with you wherever you may be. He becomes a constant friend and companion, a sure and unerring guide in the most unpredictable and bewildering situations, even after the physical death, which ends all worldly connections. He appears as an intercessor even before the judgment seat of God and leads the soul on its upward journey, bypassing all perilous pitfalls and warding off dangers. Never for an instant does he leave the soul until the soul has safely reached the mansion of the Lord and is enthroned there. The master is commissioned from God to gather the lost sheep and to bring them into his fold. He moves all the world over, administering to the spiritual needs of the hungry souls, regardless of personal hardships and privations, public taunts and rivalries, and open persecution and indignities. He undergoes all these trials and tribulations to help the helpless, to soothe lacerated hearts, and to put people on their own feet on the path of self-knowledge and God-knowledge. Human birth is a precious privilege, and we should make the most of it. Our foremost duty is to realize God, and to do this, we must make friends with one who is God-realized, so that he may help us to be likewise. God's power, or the Word of God, shines in fullness in one who has realized him. The Christ power is eternal and shines forth from time to time to meet the needs of the people. Whosoever comes into contact with the Christ power through the agency of God's elect discovers the elixir of life and becomes a living soul forever. And so we need a friend capable of working on all levels of existence so that we may have the benefit of his instructions and guidance here in this life as well as in the life hereafter in the astral, causal, and spiritual realms. Such a one who can take us to the home of our Father is none other than God himself, for he is the true guide and master. He who we call a master is truly God and man, God in human form. Such kindly souls come from the very bosom of God himself. They hold a divine mandate. If asked why they come, they reply, it is his will. This is the only answer they give. From one proceed all things according to divine will. When such masters come to the earth plane, They abide by the laws of the land in which they live for the time being. We also live here on earth and behave accordingly. But we are in the bondage of the karmic law of action and reaction, and have been so throughout the long ages since we separated from Him. Thus, He who sent us forth comes to call us back. He reminds us of our ancient lineage and gives us a glimpse of the saving lifeline, the holy Nam, provided by God within every individual. Well, this is the end of the reading for today. There is more to this message of Master, and I will continue with the remaining half of it the next time I read. In closing, I simply want to say thank you, Blessed Father, Blessed Master, for bringing us, all your children, together in your holy word, and thank you for bonding us under your divine protection and guidance. Amen.
And thank you, Joanna, for reading for us. We had 80 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.